Those of you who have come today to honor your mothers, I'm glad that you're doing that. You know, Mother's Day is now a national holiday, the second Sunday in every May. And it's on that day that you do exactly what I have done, probably. You go buy your mother a card, you get her some flowers, you take her out to eat, or you give her some other gift. We all have something that we do for our mothers, and it's our way of saying thank you. It's my understanding that this is the busiest time of the year when it comes to phone calls. And I knew that my mother wouldn't be here with us this morning. We took her out to eat yesterday morning, so this morning I called her, and I said, I just want to wish you again Happy Mother's Day. Now, just by way of information, you may not know, but Mother's Day has a history to it. 1907, 2 years after her own mother passed away, a woman by the name of Anna Jarvis started a campaign to honor mothers. In 1910, 3 years after she starts her campaign, the state of West Virginia became the first state to recognize Mother's Day. A little over about a year after that, every state in the Union was recognizing mothers. And then 7 years after she started her campaign, 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed a proclamation making Mother's Day officially a national holiday in the United States. But as it is with so many holidays, it wasn't long before she was disappointed in what had begun. So many of our holidays are started for a purpose, to recognize, to remember, to contemplate, to think about something. And it isn't long before they become commercialized, so that the intent, the original purpose behind it is forgotten. Such was the case with Mother's Day. And Miss Jarvis became rather enraged at the commercialization she saw around her. As a matter of fact, in 1923, she sought a court order injunction. Actually, she filed a lawsuit to try to stop the Mother's Day celebration that year. She was even arrested for disturbing the peace because she had gone to a War Mothers Convention where white carnations were being sold for money. White was the color that she had originally instituted. And her statement then was this: I wanted it to be a day of sentiment, not profit. Now, here's where I'm going with all of that. As I said earlier, we probably have all done the same thing. We bought our mothers their cards. We may have sent them a letter saying, Happy Mother's Day. We called them on the phone. We bought them a flower. We took them out to eat. Or we're going to take them out to eat today. We've bought them a gift. We've done something to say, Happy Mother's Day. But here's where I think we miss the point. Especially when it comes to the fact that we're Christians. Our mothers are to be honored every day of our lives. And there are some things that we are to give to our mothers beyond monetary gifts. Beyond that celebratory luncheon that takes place once a year. As Christians, our mothers have sought to instill within us a great love for God and a devotion to His Word and a desire to honor Him with our lives. So we owe them something. They deserve something from us, more than just the little gifts that we may give. And this morning, I have some things I want to share with you from God's Word that I believe draw us back to what God wants us to truly do for our mothers. We began this year talking about Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if Christ is really going to dwell within us, and if that is going to be our hope of glory, then we need to look at how we respond to those people who gave birth to us and who loved us and brought us up and nurtured us. And for some of us, some of you, you're still being nurtured because you're in those young years of your life. There are some things that they deserve, that we owe them, gifts that we really should give them. And the first of those is this. We need to give to our mothers our obedience. If you look in Luke chapter 2, you remember the passage in which Jesus has gone to Jerusalem with his parents. He's around 12 years of age. And while they're there for the days of the Passover. And when they finally leave to start back home, after they've traveled a day, they look for him and he's nowhere to be found. He's not among the kinfolk. He's nowhere. After they start back and after 3 days of searching, they finally find him. He's in the temple. He's talking with the chief priests and the elders. And they're amazed at him already. But they take him back home with them. And here's a statement that Luke makes. We know the others, the things that he says. Did you not know I must be about my Father's business? But I want you to look at verse 51 of Luke chapter 2. And you'll notice that here is what Luke says to us about Jesus. It is that he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. What does that mean? He continued in subjection to his parents. It means he was obedient. He was obedient. He did what they taught him to do. When Paul wrote his epistles to Ephesians, the Ephesian church, and to the Colossian church, he dealt with family matters in chapter 6. And in verse 1, he makes this statement. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." It is right that we obey our mothers. It is right that we listen to what they teach us. Solomon, that wise man of old, counseled his own son. And here's what he writes in his memoirs, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, he says this, "Do not forsake the law of your mother." It is the idea that we are to listen, to obey. I know that mostly pertains to us in the child-rearing years, but to obey. So the question is, are you rendering as a young person, and for these young men on the front row, guys, are you rendering to your moms the obedience that they do deserve? All of the young people here, your mothers deserve your obedience. There's a second thing that we need to give our mothers, not just today, but every day that we live. And it is this, we need to give our mothers respect. Aretha Franklin years ago came out with a song, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, respect. And yet respect is something that we are commanded to give. In that very next verse, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, after he tells us that we are to obey our parents, he says this, "Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long upon the earth." Honor. Give them the respect that they are due. Solomon spoke about the curses that come upon an individual that does not honor his parents. Proverbs 20, verse 20, he says, "He who curses his father or his mother," he says, "his lamp will go out in a time of darkness." There's an old Chinese proverb that says to us, respect for one's parents is the highest duty of life. To respect our parents. To give them honor. I want to take you back to another passage. It's found in Matthew chapter 15. It's not a part of your slides this morning. It's not in your outline. But I want to draw your attention to that for just a moment. Because in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus addresses an issue. There are those that come, the Pharisees and the scribes, there to Jesus in Jerusalem, and they accuse him of not keeping the traditions of the elders. And he responds to them by saying something, and it's interesting if you listen to what he says, because it has to do with their respect, their honor, that they're giving to their mothers and their own fathers. Here's what he says, "Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition?" And listen to what he says. "For God said, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, whoever says to father or mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God, he is not to honor his father or his mother. And by this, you have invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments or the precepts of men. Now, he's not talking about worship. He is talking here about the way we treat our parents. And honoring our parents means that we show them the respect that is due them. We respect them, and that is shown by the way we treat them. Folks, common decency teaches us that we are to respect our parents, especially our mothers. I have to be honest, it is one of the things that just grates on my nerves when I see a young person that is disrespectful of his mother or her mother or father. Honor. Respect. They deserve it. Affection. In the Old Testament, Elijah is told by God when he goes back, he goes to Horeb after he has fled from Jezebel and her, if you will, her death sentence upon him. And God gives him several things to do before he is to finish his time as a prophet. One of those things is he is to go back and he is to anoint a man by the name of Elisha to take his place. Well, he finds Elisha out in the fields plowing. And he goes to him and he tells him what he wants, that he is to follow him. He's going to become a prophet. Elisha asked for permission to do something. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 20 gives us that. He says, he leaves his oxen, the writer tells us, he runs to Elijah and he says, please let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you. Of course, Elijah says to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? And the translation would be, you do what you feel that you need to do. But notice this, please let me first go kiss my father and my mother. Let me show affection toward them. How many of us stop and say to our moms, I love you? How many of us give them a hug? How many of us put our arms around them and say, you know, I'm so glad that you're my mother. I've been blessed to have you in my life. Affection. That affection is given in so many words and actions and different things that we do. It's not just a card, folks, that we send once a year. It's not just that phone call that we make on a day like today. It's every day of our lives. And no matter how distant they may be, do we take the time to call them or to let them know, I still care about you and I want you to know that. I appreciate you. I love you. We need to give our mothers our affection. But we also need to give mothers wisdom, not wisdom that they need. They need to see wisdom in us, that their teachings are having an effect in our lives. In Proverbs chapter 31, verse 26, we know that proverb because it talks about the virtuous woman who can find her worth or her price is far above rubies. And as you follow through the end of that proverb that apparently King Lemuel's mother gives to him about that good woman, in verse 26 you notice these words. He says this, or she says this, that this woman, this virtuous woman, opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Those of us who are children, and that's every one of us in this room, because all of us have mothers, those of us who are children do well to gain as much from the wisdom of our mothers as we possibly can. If anything, Luke tells us in his own gospel that Jesus increased in wisdom from childhood to adulthood. Luke chapter 2, verse 52, he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Wisdom is the first thing that is mentioned there. Where does that wisdom come from? It comes from listening to those who are older than us, gleaning from what they have to share with us. And our mothers can give us a lot of wisdom if we will but take the time to listen. But Solomon also said something else. He said, a foolish son is grief to his mother. A son that will not listen, that will not glean from his mother's wisdom. You know, our mothers worry enough for us as children. I know my mother worried over my brother and I, because we were those rambunctious kids that climbed trees and did all kinds of dangerous things as boys growing up. And I'm sure there were times that she wondered if we would ever see the daylight of adulthood. But we did. And there were times that I know we gave our mother unnecessary grief. Folks, we don't need to do that. We need to glean from them. Much wisdom can come from the advice that our mothers give to us. Two more things, and the lesson is yours this morning. We need to give our mothers righteousness. And by that I mean, they need to see us living lives that are righteous lives. Why do they teach us? Why do they instruct us? Why have your mothers brought you here week after week after week as you are growing up? Is it not because they want you to become an individual that honors God? The passage that Jim read for us just a few moments ago from Proverbs chapter 23, if you'll notice verse 24 and 25, the statement that Solomon makes there is this, that the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who raises a wise son will be glad in him. And then he makes this comment, let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Mothers want to rejoice. They want to be proud of their kids. And mothers are proud of us even when we don't do things that we exactly as they want us to do them. But they're proud of us. But more important than any other achievement that you can gain in life is righteous character, a good name, a life well lived. It doesn't matter how many accolades you may gain growing up from the public arena. It doesn't matter how many diplomas you may bring home or how far you may go with your educational career or your business career. More than anything else, what your mothers want is for you to be an individual who honors God with your life. Because if you don't honor God with your life, all of her efforts have been wasted. Because she doesn't want to go to heaven and you not be there, guys. She wants to know that when she gets there, eventually you're going to be there. That's why she worries over you. That's why she prays over you. That's why she tells you to do things that you think, I don't want to do this. It's because she wants you to become a person who honors God in your life. Nothing makes a mother prouder than to have a righteous child, son or daughter. So do we give our mothers the righteousness they deserve? The last one is this, care. Our mothers deserve our care. And parents, especially our widowed mothers, deserve our care. There are several passages, but Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 5 directs this. And I want to draw your minds to this. If you look at verse 4, first of all, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, here's what Paul says. He says, if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and make some return for their parents. For this is acceptable in the sight of God. What's he saying? He's saying that those of us who are children and those of us who are grandchildren have a responsibility to our parents to care for them. In verse 8, he says, if anyone does not provide for his own, especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel, King James translation, an unbeliever, New American Standard. Caring for your own. In verse 16, if any woman is a believer and has dependent widows, she must assist them so that the church must not be burdened, so that it may assist those who are widows indeed. The point is, the church shouldn't be burdened with those who have family members to take care of them. We owe it to our parents. Folks, before there was ever Social Security, there was parent or family security because children took care of their moms and their dads. Children took care of the grandparents. Remember years ago, some of you who are older, mom moved in with you and you took care of her in the declining years of her life. Dad moved in with you and you did the same thing. That's what we are to be doing. That's what God's people do. Now, I realize there comes a time when maybe we can't physically do it anymore. But folks, if we neglect that responsibility to care for our own, because we're too busy enjoying life and we don't want to be tied down, then I'm afraid one day we're going to stand before God and experience His wrath. Because God has given us these people for such a short period of time. You know, I realize every day just how close I'm getting to one day my parents not being here anymore. And I want to do right by my parents because they have made so many sacrifices for me. And I hope that's true of you, that you want to do right by your parents. You care for them. You're concerned about their well-being. Your mother. That's the best gift you can give them, is to say, I'm here. My dad yesterday, and I'm not trying to share a lot of stories, but my dad yesterday said, we were talking to him about going to the doctor in Nashville, and he made a comment. He said, y'all are busy. We don't want to burden you. And my wife made a comment that I thought was so true. She said, as long as you can be independent and you want to be independent, you do whatever you feel you can do. But know this, when the day comes that you can no longer do that, that's what we're here for. That's what we want to do. To care for you. Because you've cared for us. What do our mothers deserve? They deserve so much more. More than we can ever give. Because they've sacrificed in so many ways. They deserve our obedience. They deserve our respect and our affection and our wisdom and our righteousness and our care. But you know, today, on this day that some of you have come to honor your mothers, the best gift that you can give to your mother today, if you haven't already done this, is your obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it's a prayer that she's been praying probably since you were born, that one day you would obey the gospel. It's the best gift that you can give her. And if you are a Christian but you've wandered away, you know the best gift that you can give to your mom today is the gift of coming back home. Of saying to our Lord and Savior, I've wandered away and I want to come home. Please forgive. If today you need to confess the name of Christ and put Him on in baptism, to turn away from a life lived in sin, which is repentance, and to confess His name, if you need to do that, won't you come as together we stand and sing?